Okay, so thank you all very much for having me today. I'm going to talk about testimony. It was really good. I thought, you know, hearing that testimony before, just a testimony of healing. But I'd like to look at that this morning, just about testimony. I'll look at it in the testimony in the Old Testament, testimony in the New Testament, look at the benefits of testimony, and different kinds of testimony that there are. So we're going to start looking in the Old Testament and start with Moses. Now, the people of Israel, when they came out of Egypt, it was quite a miraculous thing that happened. And Moses was their leader. They went through the water that parted as they went through and had a journey through the desert. And wherever they went, they took with them something called the Ark of the Testimony, which was this box that was gold and it got these angels on the top. And inside, there were three important things. The three things that were in there were Aaron's rod that had blossomed. There was manna, some manna. And there were the two stone tablets that had been inscribed by the finger of God. All three of those things were actually miraculous things that had happened for the people of Israel. And the people, the Israelites, carried these things around them wherever they went. And it was called a testimony, it was called the Ark of the Testimony, because it's a testimony of the miraculous things that they'd seen in their journey, just to remind them of the things that had happened. And as they're going through the desert, they come to a point where they're going to just about enter the Promised Land. And Moses gives his farewell speech, which is actually the book of Deuteronomy. And in Deuteronomy, he says some really interesting things. Now, if you've got a Bible with you, if you've got the church Bible with you, then on page 185 in Deuteronomy 6, I can just read some scripture together. And I know it's page 185. So Deuteronomy 6, 6 to 9, and then 20 to 23. I'll stop when I stop hearing the rustling. Okay. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your house and on your gates. And then down to 20. In the future, when your son asks you, what is the meaning of the stipulations, decrees and laws the Lord our God has commanded you? Tell him, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Before our eyes, the Lord sent miraculous signs and wonders, great and terrible, upon Egypt and Pharaoh and his whole household. But he brought us out from there to bring us in and give us the land that he promised on oath to our forefathers. So in that passage, you can see that Moses is saying, tell them to your children. Tell your children about the miraculous things that you've seen, the miraculous things that you've witnessed. It's before our eyes, before your eyes, you saw these things. They're miraculous things, and you need to remind your children about the things that have happened to you. At our church, my wife actually leads the children's ministry. And at the beginning of the year, she brought out this board. And on this board, there were these things that the children had been praying for. And on one side, they got all these little sticky notes about things that they prayed for. And then on the other side were the things that they'd actually seen the answers to prayer for. And they were like a testimony of the things that they prayed for and then seen happen. And it was a declaration of things that they prayed for and that had happened. So they're testimonies, and they're really important about answered prayers. And even though it was the children, God still, you know, loves the children. There's no junior Holy Spirit. God can still, still use them as well. You know, we're talking about healing. One of the things we do at our church is we get the kids to come into the meeting every now and again and to pray for the sick. God works through them as much as he can work through us. Sometimes I'll go in with a team of people with the kids as well, just prophesying over them, but also teaching them how to hear and how to prophesy. And I've got some words that they've given me that are just like really precious. And God's spoken through them; He can use them. There's no age limit when it comes to the Holy Spirit and what He can do. Yeah. So that's good. Anyway, remembering, it's really important. So that's Moses' farewell speech, and then Moses died, and he passed the baton on to Joshua, who was to lead them into the promised land. So they're at the bank of the Jordan, and they've got to get over the Jordan to the other side, and it's all on the shoulders of Joshua. What's he going to do? So in Joshua 4, and I'll read this. You don't need to read it if you don't want to. But in Joshua 4, it says this. We'll just read about what happened at that point when they were all about to cross over. Because it's actually, I should have put a bookmark in this one as well. Joshua 4 and 1 to 7. 10. Joshua 4, 1 to 7. It says, "When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, 'Choose 12 men among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priest stood, and to carry them over with you, and put them down at the place where you stay tonight.' So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, 'Go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, What are these stones? What do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever.'" So when your children ask you, tell them this. So again, it's about passing on to your children, you know, the memories, the things that you've seen. And it talks about picking up these stones, memory stones, and placing them on the land to remind people about the things that they've seen. So memory stones are actually, important things. And there's different ways that we can keep, like, memory stones of the things that we've seen and that God has done. One thing I do is I've got a book, I don't know if you can see it. It's just called Testimonies, and in here I've written down all the things in my Christian life, all the miracles that I've seen and the great healings, and I like to just read them again just to remind me of the things that I've seen, things that God's done. I find them really encouraging and great to just be reminded of the stuff I've seen. Another thing you can do is read some good books about miracles. I Believe in Miracles by Catherine Kuhlman. I'm sure, like most of you surely, have read this book. It's a classic. But the stories in here are like, they're true stories, and they're all verified as well. So they're like great. It's great to hear about like what God's done in the past. Photographs, keeping a photographic memory of maybe an event when God did an amazing thing. Keep that as a token. One other thing you can do, and I haven't got this with me, but it's at the back, maybe write a book. to talk about, you know, the things that you've done, like I did, but you don't all need to do. The journey of the seer. Another thing that the people of Israel used to do was they were commanded to put tassels on the end of their garments. And the reason why they put tassels on the garments, it said, is to help them to remember. That when they saw the tassels there, it would remind them of what God had done. And they had to keep a blue tassel in there as well to remind them of that connection with heaven, the tassels on the edge of the garment. But the important thing is that we tell, our children, tell the next generation. If you don't have children, just tell anyone who will listen about the things that you've seen, the things that God's done. As we speak them out, there's a power in our words. There's a power in that testimony. And that's really important. My wife and I were missionaries in China, in Hong Kong, and in Tibet. And we sold up everything, went out, and trusted God for his provision and for his leading in all that we did. He really did, lead us at every step of the way. And interestingly, he only gave us enough for like the next step. So he only gave us enough to buy a single ticket to Hong Kong, and then a single ticket to Tibet. We never got enough for a return. So it was always like every step of the journey we had to trust God that he'd provide us the money to get onto the next part. But God was faithful. And we've told our children about this and keep telling them, God was faithful, he provided. And now my daughter has gone out to do a YWAM DTS for 5 months. And we're telling her, God will provide the money that you need. He's going to be faithful. He'll do it. And he's done it. Which is like, it's great to be able to speak that to like your kids, but then to see them like grasping it for themselves. We have a testimony, and to pass that on you know, is like a really good and important thing. So it's not just us, but, you know, it's those after us as well. So, oh no, I've not been clicking my clicker. Sorry. Is it still on? Is it? Right, okay, there we go. Ah, there we go, Old Testament. We've just done the Old Testament. So yes, that was, where is it? Yes, Joshua. Judges. Right, okay, that's good. So Joshua lived until he was 110, which is like, that's quite an age to get to, 110. It says in Judges 2, verses 10 to 11, after that whole generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation grew up, who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. So when the people forgot the things that they'd seen, when that generation passed on and didn't you know, they didn't remember what God had done, then actually the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. Failing to remember can actually lead us on the wrong path. It's important to remember the miraculous that we've seen. Keeping the testimony is vitally important, and it keeps us from drifting away from God. And that's one of the benefits of testimony, which I'll come to a bit later on as well. So that's the Old Testament. Moving on to the New Testament. And of course, if it's the New Testament, then it's got to be about Jesus. So when Jesus first went about healing the sick and praying for them, he used to lay hands on them. And then one time there was a lady who was really ill, and she got like blood flow, which meant that she wasn't actually allowed to touch anyone. But she was so desperate for Jesus to heal her that she actually went up to Jesus and touched the edge of his garment, and she got healed. And there's actually, I don't know if you know the significance of the edge of the garment, but like I said before about remembering, that, you know, there was the tassels on the edge of the garment, and they were the tassels that she touched. And in those tassels was the blue tassel, which was like the heaven, the remembering heaven thing. So she was not just touching like the remembrance, but also touching heaven as well, heaven's power. And there's actually a prophecy in the Old Testament in Malachi 4, Malachi 4 verse 2, which talks about the Messiah, and it says that when he comes, he will have healing in his wings. And the Hebrew word for wings is actually, it's the tassel on the corner of the garments. So that in that whole event, that was like a fulfillment of a prophecy that was given about Jesus. And that's the remembering, and that's the power of the testimony, and that's the touching heaven and changing earth. So as people then testified about the healings that they'd had, you know, that Jesus had done for them, then word spread, and it became more and more difficult for Jesus to travel around, because people were just coming to him from all over. But everyone who came to Jesus got healed, and that's quite an amazing thing. See, there's power in actually sharing your testimony and telling other people about what God's done. There's actually a prophetic power in that. Now, before you start thinking that, you know, it's me and everything's about the prophetic, there's actually a scripture that backs this up, and it's in Revelation 19, verse 10, and it says this: the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So when we hear a testimony, it's actually prophetic. It's saying that God can do it again. You know, what God's done in the past, God can do it again. You know, he doesn't change. He's the same God, same Jesus, same yesterday, today, and forever, to quote a scripture. We had a person who came to our church. It was Terry Virgo. And he offered at the end of the meeting to pray for people who have problems with their legs. And so I, you know, have heard about these, you know, people who pray for people's legs. You know all the stories about, you know, like people maybe pulling out the legs or, you know, not being the correct thing. So he got people just lined up at the front here, and so I jumped up on the stage so I could clearly see what was going on, and from, you know, if anything dodgy was going on or if it was like the real thing. And like one after another, these people came up and just sat in front of him, and he just, you know, held the legs underneath. And I just watched, like, legs just, like, grow out. It was just incredible. And I was checking, you know, like, the hips weren't, like, swinging around. Everything was, you know, everything was okay. But one after another, I just, you know, sometimes it was slowly, sometimes it would just be, wow, you know, just come out. And it was like, if I'd been watching a video, I'd have said, somebody spliced that, and they've, like, you know, they've just cheated and chopped it in. But it wasn't, because, you know, it was me, it was my head, it was a live feed that was coming to my head. Nobody was, like, splicing it. It was really happening. And it just, that just did something to me inside, you know, to see that and just to think that was just absolutely amazing. And then what he did was he got one of the people who'd had their legs healed to then come up and start praying for other people's legs. So, like, there's power. You know, if you've seen this thing, there's a power, there's a prophetic power in the testimony and in seeing these things. So I think, you know, it's really good to keep sharing the testimonies about what God's done. I think, you know, I noticed that you did that, like, before, you know, just sharing your testimony of healing. I think that's just a really good thing to deliberately do, to deliberately remember the things that God's done, and not just think, well, that's a nice story, but actually say, well, God's done that for them. You know, he can do that for me, or he can do that for this other person. There's power in testimony. I should be clicking these out. Sorry, just getting too carried away. Where are we up to? Yes, we've done that one as well. There we go. Benefits, like getting onto the benefits. So we saw one of the benefits was that it stops us from, you know, drifting away from God. That was the first benefit. Another benefit is actually that testimonies actually reveal God. Is that what that says? Yeah, I can't see it. So right, okay. Oh right, okay. There we go. They reveal God. Okay. Hebrews 13 verse 8 says this: Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. What he's done for someone else in the past, he can do for you. I know I keep saying that, but it's true. It's important then that we know what God's done in the past. You know, the Bible itself is a testimony of what God's done in the past. I mentioned before about, you know, books as well. I don't know if you know about the Finger of God movies. If you've ever seen any of those, I mean, there's some amazing things that happen in there. You know, they're great to, you know, to see testimonies of the miraculous, of healing. There's various things on YouTube as well. I've got somebody in our church who just has got so many stories about healing and miracles and stuff. I'll just, you know, ask her every now and again, you know, what have you seen, like, recently, and what's God done? Yeah, testimonies reveal God. Another benefit as well is that testimonies actually, they build faith. They encourage us. Whenever we hear of what God's done, it builds a faith to believe that God can do it again. You know, he's a faithful God. And yeah, and testimonies build faith. Testimonies also glorify God. When we're speaking out what God has done, it brings glory to God. You know, he's the one who's done this miracle, not us, it's him. It brings glory to him. When we talk about, you know, lives that have been saved, when we talk about healings, when we talk about miracles, all of these are things that we can't do. Only God can do those things. So as we relate these things, as we testify to these things, it's giving him glory. It's lifting him up. And that's a great thing. And what kind of things should we be giving testimonies about? Well, there's different kinds. There's testimonies of provision. I was chatting with Terry just before the meeting, and he was just talking about a crusade that he put on for J. John, where they needed like £1.1 million to like do the same, but like you booked it without the money, and it's like, wow, and God provided the money. I mean, that's an amazing testimony, really, and that's you know, only God could do that. You know, God's faithful; he can provide. You know, I've seen that in my life as well, that God is faithful and he can provide. So as we speak out about these stories, then, you know, it builds faith that God will provide. Another thing that we can give testimony about is healing. You know, again, you know, when we hear about, you know, how somebody, you know, has been healed, then that again gives us permission to, you know, to go for it again, to believe that God can do it again. You know, the stories of healings and miracles in the Bible, they're not like in the past. God's still doing those things today. It's the same God. You know, let's testify to healings that we've seen. This one, maybe not, you know, your own personal experience raising the dead, But it's in the Bible, and you know, it talks about the fact that, you know, that we can, as Christians, it's something that we can expect. I don't know if you'd know about Iris Ministries in Africa, but they, I mean, they've seen like 68 people raised from the dead. You know, and that's just like the past decade or whatever. It's not a long time. In the one of the Finger of God movies, they have a guy there who got raised from the dead. He was like in a meeting. He went outside to go and see his car. I think it was something like that. This gang jumped him, killed him, stabbed him to death. He was a pastor, and they thought that he was dead. And they prayed for him. And he got raised again from the dead. And the first thing he did, the police wanted him to testify to the people who tried to kill him, and he wouldn't do it. He said, "No, I want to forgive them. I want to forgive them for what they're doing. And you know, I'm not dead, so you can't charge them with murder." which is true. But as a result of that, the guy who'd murdered him actually became a Christian and is now involved in the church. That's like, wow, that's a testimony of raising the dead, but like, what a great testimony to have. Testimonies of cleansing of the lepers. It talks about that the Greek word there is like any kind of skin disease. So it's not just leprosy, but you know, other kinds of skin disease as well. You know, testimonies about those sort of things. You probably see that there's a bit of a theme here that's coming from Matthew 10. Another one, casting out demons. You know, we have, as believers in Jesus, we have authority over evil spirits, and we can cast them out. You know, hearing about that is just, that's really, you know, good testimony about the authority that we have as Christians. Testimonies of miracles. God still does miracles today. He's not stopped. And testimonies of salvation. I never tire of hearing somebody's testimony of how they became a Christian. And, you know, some of them are pretty amazing things. But all of them are actually amazing before God. Testimonies of salvation. So, in conclusion, what are we doing for time? Okay. In conclusion, so today we've... did I put the points up? Oh, I did. Right, okay. Yes, we talked about... testimony. We've looked at the Old Testament. We've looked at the New Testament. Testimony in both of those things. We've seen that it's just really important to remember things. We've seen that testimonies too are prophetic. You know, what God's done in the past, He can do again. When you hear it, just lay claim to it and say, "Yeah, okay, I want that. I want to see that again myself." Yes, we looked at the benefits of testimony, and I mentioned a few of them. They keep us from drifting away from God, they reveal God, they build faith, they glorify God. And then we looked at the different kinds of testimonies that there are. Looked at the testimonies of provision, of healing, of raising of the dead, of cleansing lepers, casting out demons, of miracles and salvation. Testimonies are really, really important. It's really important that we remember what God's done in the past. And what He's done in the past, God can do again. Amen. Testimonies are important. Right. So that was my preach. Let's put my glasses on so I can... Ah, there you are. Right, okay. You've not all disappeared. You're still here. That's good. Okay. So I thought I'd share like one or two words for people who are here. The lady who was dancing with the flag... Jackie, is she here or is she? Oh, there she is. Right. Okay. Yeah, I was trying to look for you. I saw you as being like Miriam, you know, with the people of God when they arrived on the other side when the water parted. It says of Miriam that she led the people in dance, that she danced around with the tambourine, and she said, you know, praise God, the riders and the chariots, you know, He's cast into the sea. And I see you as like, you know, leading in worship and, you know, in the dance, like the people of God to celebrate Him more and to worship Him more as well. But also, you know, that word picture that you had about the rose, I really felt that was like God speaking to you. That's how He sees you, as like, you know, this rose that's precious and that's sweet smelling and fragrant and that's red and washed in the blood, that you're precious to Him and that He values you greatly. The gentleman on the end, yes. Sorry, I don't know you. Yes, you. Yes. So I saw you in like this a marathon race, and you were running well and you were running hard, and I felt that this was a picture of you in your life. That is like you've worked out how to go the distance, how to maintain your Christian walk, and you've been prepared to cast off the weights that have kept you from slowing you down. That you're determined to win the race and to take hold of the prize for which Jesus took hold of you. And I saw that you then running alongside others who are also running the race, and you speaking into their lives and telling them, hey, this thing you've got here, that's a weight that's going to slow you down. From your experience of the things that God's done in your life, you speaking into their lives as well, and just encouraging them, just building them up, and telling them, this is how you win the race. This is how you run the long run. So God using your experiences to speak into other people's lives as well. So, yeah. So the lady sitting right at the back, at the very back, with the head down, with the great hair, sitting on the chair. I feel that it's like, I'll keep going. She's not looking up. Oh, Pasima, is it? Oh, okay. So I believe that that God wants you to know that you're not hidden from Him. That He sees your heart. He knows your heart. And I see, like, laid around you, it's like these promises that God's given you that have like dropped to the floor. You've let them drop to the floor. And I see God picking them up and just reminding you of the things that He's promised you. He's a faithful God, and He's not going to let go of those promises that He's given you. I believe He wants to reignite in you those promises, believing Him, trusting Him, that He's a faithful God, that He knows what He's doing. He's got plans for you to prosper you, to give you hope and a future. And He is faithful to all His promises, and all His promises are yes and amen in Jesus. Yeah. I don't know, Mrs. Terry, I think would be, but I know you're not Mrs. Terry. But right, okay, Juanita. So I saw you standing in front of this. It was like this rock. Would be the best way to describe it. And you've got this chisel and this hammer. And I saw you putting this chisel against the rock and then banging it with a hammer. And it just like breaking open. And behind this rock were these just like amazing treasures and jewels and things like that. And I believe that you're a great woman of faith and of prayer as well. That you believe God for things that other people would say are impossible. That when you look at a rock wall, you don't see a rock wall. You know that if you put your chisel of faith against it and hammer it with the promises of God, that you're going to see breakthrough, and that breakthrough is going to bring the treasures that He's got behind it. You're not stopped by a brick wall. So keep persisting, because there's treasures behind there that this church and others need as well. So yeah. This gentleman here in the check shirt. Yep, that's you. Yes. So I saw Chris. Right. Okay. Yes. Sorry. I'm not getting you to stand up because I don't want to embarrass you all by stand up and say your names. But you know who you are. I see over you like the words no compromise. I believe that you're someone who it's like. In you, there's like this thing about an evangelist almost. Like you'll rush into situations that other people wouldn't rush into because you're not concerned about the fire. You're concerned about the people who are in the building who are going to die. That you're willing to take the risk because you see the benefits of the salvation that lies inside. There's like that fire doesn't deter you because, you know, God set in you that heart of no compromise, the willingness to go. And I also saw you not just in the fire, but also go into places where it was like there were these bouncers on the door and they were turning away other people, but they weren't turning away you. It's like you had favor in places where other people didn't have favor. And because of that, I saw you stepping into places that other people couldn't go to reach the lost that were there, to talk to them about Jesus in ways that no one else could do because they can't get past the bouncers. So it's like, you know, there's a favor there for an evangelistic kind of thing for you. So there we go. Okay. So come along tonight. Right, thank you very much.
Let's give Ian a round, shall we? Thank you, Ian. Bless you. Praise the Lord.